Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. This past Sunday, we celebrated, obviously, Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, and we were teaching through at the Delaware campus. I went to John chapter 1, which may seem like a strange place to teach the Easter message, but I honed in on John chapter 1, verse 29, where John the Baptist, as Jesus is beginning his public ministry, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He tells everyone, "See this Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I use that as sort of a launching point for talking through the meaning of the crucifixion, and then eventually kind of closed out with, you know, how do the crucifixion and the resurrection relate to one another? What's the meaning of the resurrection? And so when it comes to the crucifixion, I walked us through, look, as John says, the Lamb of God, that may seem an odd statement to us, but that was something that was deeply rooted in all of the history of the Old Testament. You go all the way back to Abraham and Isaac, and you see that there's a ram that God provides as a sacrifice in Isaac's place. You go to the story of Moses and the Exodus, and when God judges the sin of Egypt, when he comes and he kills the firstborn there, the 10th plague, he passes over the houses of the Israelites because he tells them to take a lamb without blemish, a perfect lamb, spotless and without any defect, and to sacrifice it and to take the blood and put it over their doorposts. And so any doorpost that had blood on it, the blood of the lamb over it, was covered in a sense by the grace of God, and God passed over that house. That's what started the festival of the Passover, which, by the way, Jesus is crucified. His crucifixion and resurrection happen at the festival of Passover, which is not by any, I mean, that's not a coincidence. It's very, very intentional on the Lord's part, because Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb. And so then you go through the whole Old Testament sacrificial system where they would sacrifice an animal. And the whole idea, and I know this sounds maybe foreign to us, but the whole idea was that you are transferring your sin onto an animal, in a sense. That animal was being sacrificed. They would sacrifice an animal, and the person offering the animal would literally put their hand on the animal's head and symbolically sort of transfer, like, hey, my sin is being paid for instead of my life being taken because of my wrongdoing. No, this animal's being killed in my place. This lamb without blemish or spot or defect was taken in my place. And so with all of that as the background, then you get to John saying, hey, behold the Lamb of God. Jesus is the perfect. He is perfect, sinless, spotless, lives a perfect life in your place and mine, does all the things that we should do but can't do because of our sin, didn't do any of the things that we shouldn't do but we do anyways because of our sinfulness. Jesus did all of that, lived a perfect life in perfect obedience to the Father. He's our sinless, spotless Lamb, the Lamb of God. And then John says, who takes away the sin of the world. And that's what Jesus is doing at the cross. When he says it's finished, it's accomplished, he accomplished taking away our sin. He does more than just that, but certainly at the cross, he is taking on our sin on himself. He's not just being physically beaten and physically crucified. He is spiritually taking on the full brunt of God's just anger against sin, his wrath against sin, and saying, hey, that punishment's falling on me, on Jesus, instead of on you. Instead of on, right, the sinner, it's falling on Christ. The way the Apostle Paul says it is, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That Jesus, who knew no sin, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, who was perfect, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so what happens is when we repent of our sin and we trust Jesus, we're saying, Jesus, at the cross, your crucifixion, you were separated. One of my favorite authors and pastors says it this way, that Jesus was separated from the Father so that we would never have to be. Jesus, you experienced literal hell at the cross, the full separation from God. You bore the full brunt of God's anger and wrath against sin. You experienced hell so that we could experience heaven, so that we could be united to the Father. And so when we repent of our sin and we place our faith in Jesus, our sin is paid for. You know, the worst thing, the highest punishment or price you and I could pay for our wrongdoing is that someone could take our lives, right? We'd get the death penalty. Jesus already did that. Jesus already paid for that. He already went to the cross. He already gave his life. God punished him instead of you and me. And so when we trust Jesus, our sin is taken away by the perfect Lamb of God, and we receive in its place the righteousness, the perfect life of Christ. It's credited to our account through faith. And then we said, you know, well, what does the resurrection have to do with all of that? Well, none of this matters if Jesus stays dead. That's what the Apostle Paul later says, is look, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then we are to be most pitied of all people. Our faith is futile and in vain. But he says, no, Jesus has been raised from the grave. The resurrection validates the crucifixion. Jesus said, I'm going to the cross to pay for sin, and on the third day I'll rise from the grave. And then it happened. God raised Jesus from the grave on the third day, proving that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he accomplished what he said he was going to accomplish, that it really is finished. And now, by grace through faith, you and I, anyone who trusts Jesus, we're saved. We can look back at our lives and say, man, the moments of greatest regret, those things that the moments we wish we could have back, the sinfulness we see in our own hearts, the decisions we made that were so bad, the words that we said that were so hurtful, it's all been washed away. Our past sin, present, future sin, washed away, taken away by the Lamb of God, who was slain for our sin. And that's why we worship. That's why we know one day we will stand around the throne of God and say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who took away our sin at the cross, the sin of the whole world, that we might be united to the Father. I want to take a moment and pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take some time just to pray today and reflect on the beauty of what God has done for us in Christ. Heavenly Father, we love you. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice at the cross. Thank you that we got to take a moment just church-wide this past Sunday to celebrate the meaning of the crucifixion and the resurrection, having new life in you. That God, just as you raised Jesus from the dead, you're going to raise us. You have raised us to new life, and you will raise us to new life. Jesus, thank you. We can never repay you, but we offer our lives to you and say, here we are. Lord, use us. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Take some time now just to pray for yourself.